Hi everybody, and welcome to the Next Steps video for November 2024. It's wonderful to be with you.
It is absolutely a pleasure. What a wonderful intensive for those that were able to join. We had Dennis in just incredible fine form. We had Bruce, we had Gerald. It was just such a thrill to be with so many of you and really to get into the discussion group. So today what we wanted to cover were just some of those really key points that came out and maybe what Natalie and I got from them and some of the things I think we can take into next year as we meditate on some of those things that were really dropped into our spirit with Dennis and Bruce. Well, look, today what we wanted to do is really just pick on three points that we spoke about. And I think Dennis did just a remarkable job of talking about staying under the water as an analogy, under the water, in the presence of God, under the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we stay under that all day long? Then he spoke about how we walk in our obedience. How do we walk in our true identity and our love for God? And how do we deal with our sin at the same time and how we do that in balance? And then Bruce spoke about, are we really men and women of God, or are we godly men and women? And I think that was a great distinction. So we'll just unpack all three of those over the next few minutes. So when Dennis spoke about being under the water, he talked about this concept of being able to breathe under the water. And it's an analogy for being in the presence of God. And as we come out of the water, we then are in the presence of the world, and it's not the same. So how long can we stay under the water? And what are those things that pull us out? What are those little things? And he gave a great example of what he called a regulator, which was somebody in traffic just going incredibly slow, but it just irritated him. And as he got more and more irritated, he talked about how it brought him out of the water. And it was such a clear example of what it is that we really are battling with.
That resonated with like so many people in the breakout sessions and in the conversations we've had, because it was such a real and authentic example of what happens to us every day in our life. And it's easy to see and we can have a laugh at it, but it's really not okay. Is it? It's not okay that something so small and so insignificant has so much power in our life. I think that it's hard to grasp that, actually.
It can take us out of the presence of God.
It's incredible.
Dennis is talking about, and we all have done it, we're in the presence of God. We can feel his presence. Mm. We can feel his joy and his delight. And then when in the split second, something will happen.
Yeah. And so Vivian, in one of our breakout sessions, asked a fantastic question, and it was, how do you stay under the water? What are some of the things that you do to stay under the water? And maybe we can share about some of the practical things that we do that help us stay in the presence of God. And I guess the first thing for me, and we had Primrose on our call, and Primrose validated my story because she knows this is something I've said to her whole life, is the first thing when I wake up in the morning, it's good morning Father, good morning Jesus, good morning Holy Spirit. It's not good God, it's morning. And that's how I used to wake up. But at some point I realized my very first waking thoughts needed to be established in Father and in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit. And that didn't happen overnight. I didn't just all of a sudden decide I'm going to wake up and they're going to be my first thoughts or our first thoughts. But we trained and disciplined ourselves. We put notes up at the end of the bed for a very long time and notes on the top of our bedside table. And we did things that instilled in us the habit that this was going to be the first thing. And we do that to this very day. The very first thing we say when we wake up in the morning is good morning Father, good morning Jesus, good morning Holy Spirit. We are acknowledging him at the very beginning of our day, and that leads us into a posture of prayer, and it leads us into a posture of reading the word first thing in the morning.
First thing.
And that changed everything, didn't it?
We're actually trying to get into his day.
Yeah.
He was already awake.
Yeah.
He was waiting, and Bruce spoke about that previously. He's waiting to the light in us.
Yeah.
And he's there.
Yeah, he's there. And he's like, oh, you're awake.
You're awake.
You're awake. Yay, that's wonderful. And how often do we just wake up and maybe the first thing we do is reach for our phone or turn on the television, or just think, oh my gosh, I need a cup of coffee and I need to have a shower, or I'm running late for work. All of those things that demand us before we even acknowledge our Father in heaven who gave us the very life we had. And I absolutely know it might sound really trite and trivial, but if you can make a commitment with the Lord that that's going to be how you start your day every day, I guarantee you things will change in your life. I know it. And on the rare occasion we haven't started our day that way, we usually at some point have to go, hang on,
reset.
We did not start our day the way we should have.
Hope that helps. But I think the last point, and let's just finish on that last point that Natalie said, we're not going to get it. We are going to get pulled out of the water.
Yeah.
Don't condemn yourself. Don't get guilty. Don't beat yourself up. Just say, reset.
Reset.
Let's get in the water again. Let's go back in.
Yeah.
And see if we can hold our breath a bit longer this time.
Yeah, forgive me, Father.
Forgive me.
Forgive me, Father, for where I just started my whole day without you. But I'm there now. I'm there about what you're doing today now. Not come into my day, Lord, and be with me. Father, let me be with you today and see what you are doing today. Let you be the center of my life, not me be the center of yours. It's a big difference. So the question that really resonated with so many of us was, are we godly men and women, or are we men and women of God?
Yeah, and that was just wonderful. And the distinction is quite important, because we went through all the attributes of what it was to be a godly man or woman. And the reality is there's a lot of people that would fit that criteria, maybe even some people that aren't Christian, who have a tremendous heart for people and society, and they live godly lives, they're married, they're faithful, they're righteous, but they don't know God. But a man and woman of God is first and foremost a son and an heir. And everything they do comes out of their being. It comes out of that identity. They don't do things to become. They are, and then they do things. And that was really, really great discussion. Somebody said it's the difference between a noun and an adjective. An adjective is we're godly men and women. And what are all the things that will classify as godly men and women?
It's describing who we are.
It's describing. But a noun is a man and woman of God. That's who we are. And because of who we are, we will do the things that we do and serve him. And so that was just such a great reminder, Bruce.
Taking us back to that principle of be, do, have, which is because of who I am in Christ, I will do only what I'm meant to do for him, and I will have only what I'm meant to have from him.
Perfect.
What a way to live. Wow. So the third and final point we're going to talk about today is something that shook me to my very core, and I think it did to many other people who were listening to Dennis as well. And I'm actually going to put my glasses on and read the quote, because I don't want to misrepresent what Dennis said. But he said, most Christians aren't secure enough to release the righteous hatred of Satan, evil, and their flesh without losing themselves. And he also said we need to love life to the same degree that we hate death. And that is, wow, this is so true. We aren't capable, because of our insecurity in our identity in Christ, of hating our flesh and hating evil and hating Satan to the degree that we need to the degree that becomes powerful and overcoming, because we are so wrapped up in our own identity rather than in who God says we are.
Our own insecurity.
Yeah. And I hope this really lands with people. I hope over the next weeks, months, days even, that you are able to reach out to somebody and have a conversation about this. And so our deep encouragement of you is that over this Christmas season, you take the time to go back through those 52 riches of divine grace and go back and really, on bended knee before the Lord, ask him to reveal to you as fully as he can who you are to him and in him. And the more we grow and mature in our identity, in who Father says we are, the more powerful we will become at mortifying and putting our flesh to death, of going after evil and of hating Satan like we are intended to do. We are called to live powerful and important lives. We are the son and daughters of the living God. And it's about time we started believing that.
Yeah.
And it's about time we started going after the things of the flesh in ourselves. It's about time we became so offended, like Dennis said, with our own flesh, and far less offended with the flesh of somebody else.
Yes.
And I think that was really recognized with a lot of people this weekend is, oh my goodness, I see how my first thoughts are about somebody else's flesh and how I hate their flesh, but I'm not actually doing the work to expose mine and to bring mine into the light. And the only reason we don't do that is because we're immature in how we see ourselves before the Lord.
We haven't accepted what he says about us.
Yeah, we haven't.
And we haven't spent enough time under the water with
him
to let the truth of what he says about us to not just go into our brain, but it actually becomes part of who we are.
Yeah.
It's actually a knowing, I know this to be true.
Yeah.
And so anything that I do that is in opposition to that, it's just terrible. And that's what Paul says in Romans 7, I hate the things I do that I don't want to do. How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this wicked place? And it is, it's just confession. It's just saying, this is not us. This is not who you created me to be, Lord. Help me transform. Help me be delivered from my sinful state and be set free. Delight in him. Delight in every part of this season and let it fill you to overflowing. And an overflowing heart is what we need to do the work that we need to.
Do it. Just go do it. Enough.
Enough.
Enough. Let's say enough to ourselves.
Amen. God bless.
Bye.